Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Time to get up and at 'em. Start your Saturday morning with AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app, giving you a full hour of whiz talk here on The Fan to celebrate the Mother's Day miracle of the Washington Wizards winning the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. What is viewed as one of the deepest draft classes in a long time, one of the most impressive freshman classes of college basketball we've had in a while, and there are four big top prospects that people believe are franchise changing at the top of the board, and Washington will have their pick. They get to choose which of these four they think fits their roster, fits their system, and who will have the most success in the nation's capital. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, it's Chase Hughes. What's up, Chase?
Not much, man. Good to be on with you.
Absolutely. So let's start by breaking down these four prospects. How do you view Caleb Wilson, a guy that had his jersey into the Raptors at UNC? His season was cut short because of an injury on his thumb, but he started to show a lot of excitement at the second half of that season, not just with his athletic ability, but his ball handling as well. How do you view Caleb Wilson?
Yeah, he's a very athletic two-way talent. I think he's got the highest defensive ceiling of the players projected to go at the top of this draft. He averaged about 1.5 blocks and 1.5 steals last year at UNC, which is really rare. I mean, there were only two freshmen who did that last season, and Cooper Flagg and Thomas Sorber were the two. They were both lottery picks. So he's about 6'10", can run like the wind, has a 40-inch vertical leap. And I think his motor really brings out his potential on the defensive end. That's why he causes a lot of turnovers. But he also offers plenty on the offensive end. I think he's just been overshadowed by the other top prospects in this draft, who are some of the best scorers that we've seen come through the freshman ranks in a long time. But he himself averaged about 20 points per game at UNC on well above 50% shooting. Does a lot of his damage around the rim. He's a big-time dunker, but he can also stretch the floor a little bit. He's got a pretty decent mid-range fadeaway. And as you mentioned, he can handle the ball in transition. And his speed is pretty rare for his size. And the fact that he can handle the ball in the open court is really intriguing and I think says a lot about his ceiling.
Yeah, if he's hitting threes, I could see him winning Rookie of the Year. Cam Boozer is next up. There's talk that he could go to Utah, too. There's talk he could go three. I mean, there's obviously a chance any of these four guys could come to Washington at number one. I think he's probably the most NBA ready and the guy that has the highest floor. How do you view Carlos Boozer's kid?
I agree with both of those things, and he's also the youngest. He's only 18. Maybe the most decorated high school basketball player that we've seen in decades, you know, since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, he was winning national titles, AAU titles, you know, Gatorade Basketball Player of the Year, National Player of the Year. His shelves are full of awards, and that continued at college. You know, he went to Duke, was an incredible scorer, about 23 points per game, you know, shooting well from three, 39% from three, even though he's 6'9", 250. Great rebounder, 10.5 rebounds a game. Some questions on the defensive end, but he rebounds really well. He gets steals, so he does force turnovers. And then I think what separates him from the other guys at the top is he's the best passer and the best best at understanding angles and sort of the geometry of the offensive end. He really does a great job. I saw him in person this year play against Michigan. He does a great job of like manipulating the defense and moving them where he wants them to go and then just finding his teammates with perfect passes. So he averaged about 4 assists last year. Great for a big man. I think he's going to average a lot of assists as he moves forward in his NBA career.
Darren Peterson had an unbelievable high school tape, very high prospect, goes to Kansas, and this entire season was just filled with red flags. It's now come out. He had a creatine issue. You know, people saw him pulling himself out of the game. There was the issue. I thought his dad was too involved. But my goodness, the highlights look good. The workouts look amazing. And there's a reason people say the words Kobe Bryant when they talk about Darren Peterson. How do you view DP?
Yeah, there are plenty of people who think he's the most talented player in the draft. Measured out, I think, great at the combine, 6'4.5 without shoes, which means he'll be about 6'6 on the court. He's the exact same height as SGA and Dylan Harper and Devin Booker. So he's got plenty of size, whether he's going to be the one or the two. He's super athletic around the rim, but also a really good three-point shooter. So it's an enticing combination that could lead to him being an Anthony Edwards-type offensive talent at the next level because, you know, once he's around the basket, he can dunk on people. He can, you know, he's so acrobatic once he gets in the air, he can score around people. But then he can also make threes both off the catch and off the dribble. He shot about 38, 39% from three last year on a lot of attempts. And those numbers went down late in the season. For much of the year, he was shooting above 40% and looked like he had a case to be one of the best shooting prospects to come into the draft in years. On the defensive end, he's a little bit better defensively than like A.J. Dabanza, who's in the running to go first. And I would also say Cam Boozer. He does a good job of forcing turnovers. And he's just very athletic, very long, moves his feet well. He's got like a 6'9", 6'10 wingspan. So NBA teams feel like his ceiling on the defensive end is extremely high. He's just got to be coached up because he's a little bit further as an offensive player.
A.J. Dabanza is the prospect I've liked most in the last 5 or 6 years. I've been following his career, it feels like, for 3 years now since I read about him on ESPN, the top 15-year-old. Then he was the top 16-year-old. Then he reclassed. Then he went out to Utah State or Utah for prep and then BYU and oh my goodness, leading the college basketball and scoring in this year, doing it super efficiently. He had multiple games over 70% from the field because he picks his spots, he gets to them, and he makes it when he gets it to his spots. He can get all the way to the basket. If you stop him, he's got a great turnaround from the mid-range. I think his defense is going to grow in the NBA. I think A.J. Dabanza is the perfect piece to add to this Wizards team. You add the fact that Will Dawkins has pretty much known about him since he was 14 years old. Tell me your thoughts on A.J. Dabanza.
Well, you mentioned all the production that he had at BYU, led the nation in scoring, did so efficiently, wasn't a great three-point shooter if you look at the season total numbers, but there was a half a season stretch in the middle of it during conference play where he shot about 39% from three on five attempts. I'm not worried about his shooting. I think he'll be a very good shooter at the next level because he's got shooting touch all over the floor and proved that he could make threes. He can also pass. I think he's probably the second best passer of the players at the top behind only Cam Boozer. He does a really good job of getting into the paint and finding his teammates on the three-point line. On defense, he admits he's got to get better there, but he's got the physical tools. I think he's got the motor overall. He said he's been a little bit lazy in college with off-ball defense, but I think you saw more of that late in the year as he was probably a little bit tired playing more games than he's ever played before. He only missed one game this year at BYU, and he had a monster tournament offensively. He just didn't close the year very strong defensively. But I still think there's potential there. So we mentioned all the production. Then he goes to the combine and arguably has one of the best combines in the history of the event. I mean, it goes back to 2000 that we have the database of measurements, and we've never really seen an athlete quite like him. He's 6'8 and a half without shoes, so he's going to be close to 6'10 on the court. He's got a 42-inch vertical leap. So like, here's just a couple names of players that he jumped higher than at the combine. Derrick Rose, Zach LaVine, Blake Griffin, John Wall, Dwight Howard. Like, all these players that were known for, a lot of those guys won dunk contests or were known for their dunking. He can jump higher than them, and he's taller than just about all of them. And he's only a half inch shorter than Dwight Howard. So, and he's also got the same sprint speed based on the combine as John Wall. So this guy is like an unbelievable athlete. Yeah, he had the exact...
Are you making this up?
No, they run through a three-quarter court sprint, and he had the exact same time as John Wall. Now, they're not running with the ball. That does matter, but that's what kind of athlete A.J. Dabanza is. It's unbelievable. So you match the production with the athleticism, and this guy's ceiling is basically unlimited.
My goodness, you could have gone on for hours there. I was loving every second about that. I mean, yeah, because I that's the thing I haven't seen, right? You were at the combine. You saw that. I saw him in game. So being able to see how much of a freak athlete he is in person, is it just blowing you away?
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because sometimes, I would say more often than not, guys go to the combine and they're like shorter than they were listed in college, right?
Right. Right.
Immediately, once we found out he was 6'8 and a half without shoes, you realize that what BYU listed him at 6'8 or 6'9, you know, depending on the college website, he's actually closer to 6'10 on the court. So Like, I remember last year, Ace Bailey measured in a little bit shorter than people thought. And again, that's common. But A.J. DeBonta did the opposite. I kind of think that's cool. I don't know if that was by design, but I feel like if you're a prospect, that's what you should do, is list yourself just a little bit shorter. So then when you get to the combine, people are like, oh, wow, he's taller than we thought, or he grew. So A.J. DeBonta had an element of surprise there. And then the 42-inch vertical leap, that's unbelievable. And I my jaw dropped when I saw the John Wall thing on top of all of that.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see him in a Wizards uniform. I think he's a Cooper Flagg level prospect. Cooper Flagg, rookie of the year, 21 points per game. I mean, am I crazy to assume he could come in and maybe average 16 plus his rookie year?
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, he led the nation in scoring and, you know, kept it up after one of their best players, Richie Saunders, was lost to the year with the ACL. He's very, very skilled on the offensive end. I think he's the type of guy who will hit the ground running offensively, and then just over time, it depends on how he develops his three-point shot.
What do you think of a starting five next season, all right? Trey Young, Bilal Coulibaly in the backcourt. Can he play shooting guard? I wanted more defense next to Trey Young. DeBonta, Anthony Davis, Alex Sarr.
I think that sounds about right. My question would be, is it Bilal Coulibaly or Keyshawn George? Either way, I think you're looking for some defense there, you know, as opposed to some of their other options at guard that bring more offense. Next to Trey Young, you're going to want someone who can take on tough defensive assignments. And A.J. DeBonta, you know, like he said himself, he's got to get better defensively. You do have Anthony Davis and Alex Sarr in that lineup, but I like the direction you're going. You know, you pretty much go all offense with Trey Young and then mostly defense with Bilal Coulibaly. And we've seen what Bilal can do against some of the top guards and top wings in the league. So I could definitely see him being in that starting lineup.
Chase Hughes, follow him on Twitter, ChaseDCSports. We got to get you over 50K this season. Everybody's got to be watching and listening to Wizards basketball on Monumental and Wizards Radio as well. It's going to be a very exciting season. I'm saying 40-plus wins, Chase.
Okay. I mean, look, they added a lot of talent in the last few months, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm super excited, though. Thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. That's AUDACY. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can listen to shows around the country, including the AWOD radio show in Richmond, Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 p.m. on the Odyssey app, searching 910 The Fan, or check out the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio, is available for you on your ride home. You can always rewind on that free Odyssey app. Giving you a full hour of Washington Wizards talk, because this is the most excited I've been in a very long time. I screamed at the top of my lungs when they didn't hear their name called at five. And after that, it was just excitement. I was elated. I could not believe. 4-3-2 to actually getting the number one overall pick, to actually getting to decide who goes one in what is one of the most anticipated NBA drafts in a while. They're calling it one of the best freshman classes of all time. I mean, we're comparing this to like when LeBron was drafted. And that's how good I think the monster A.J. DeBonta is. I've never liked a prospect this much. I don't think ever. Like, I mean, I wasn't a Victor Wembanyama guy because I thought he was a social media highlight guy doing everything in Europe. I will admit I was wrong about that. I thought Paolo Banchero put on an ultimate year at Duke and had the highlights to look like LeBron James. Well, that's starting to pay out. I mean, Paolo was incredible this year for Orlando. He did his part in beating the Magic or beating the Pistons. Desmond Bane decided not to show up. I think A.J. DeBonta is must-watch television like Zion Williamson was in college. And I know that hasn't translated in the NBA, but you see the athleticism. Anytime you turn on the TV, he's like the most athletic guy on the court. I can't wait to get him in a Wizards uniform. If you've been paying attention, this is a front office that has built, and they've built with incredibly smart draft picks, with really good trades that I think are going to go in their favor this year. Oh, but they traded for Anthony Davis and Trae Young and got nothing out of them. Yeah, because they were trying to lose games last year. Let's see how many wins they get this year when they try to win. They're going to be ambitious and try to win games this year for the first time in 4 years. The rebuild is over. The reconstruction phase of the roster is done. Sign me up for the Wizards. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Kurt in District Heights. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just like you. On Mother's Day, when they went to the commercial and they made the Final Four, I got out of my seat at that point. You know, I was out of my seat watching it. When they won that lottery, I jumped so high my head almost hit the ceiling. Okay, but I agree with you 100% in everything you've been saying. Okay, because I was on the radio with Chris Russell a few days ago, and I debated with him, seemed like forever, okay, on the exact points you were making versus the points he was making, okay? And he whined all season long about them losing games, and I was trying to tell him, listen, man, they're absolutely doing it the right way. What other way really can they do it at this point, okay? You have to strip down and start from scratch, and that's what they did. They acquired all that young talent, and then last year when they didn't get Cooper Flagg, okay, they went out. They would have never made the trades for Trae Young and AD if they had gotten Cooper Flagg. So what they did was they protected themselves in case they didn't get a top pick this year. At least if they'd have got anywhere in the top five or top four, you know, with AD and Trae, it would have still been a win. Because you have two veterans here that have been all-stars, that have been deep in the playoffs, that have won championships to lead these young players. And any of those guys would have been a great addition, okay, with those two on the roster. And you're right. You know, they go 10 deep now. They have the roster, okay, they have the coaching, they have the player development, they have the youth, they have everything in place now. And just the fact that they won the lottery, that was just icing on the cake. You know, Russell was trying to make it sound like they put all their chips in, and if they didn't get the first pick, everything was a failure. And I didn't agree with that. I just didn't agree. I think they're doing it the right way. They're setting themselves up, and it paid off winning the lottery. I'm looking for big things. And one more thing real quick. Okay, I'm a diehard Redskins Commanders fan, okay? But deep down, the roots in D.C. is a basketball town. Okay, these fans will come back. Okay, when they see those young players out there and they see them winning, they will come back. Okay, and the Wizards will be relevant, and that's important.
Yeah. No, good call, Kurt. And here's the thing. Chris Russell's not fully wrong. These last 3 years have been tough. It has not been fun seeing all the jokes that college teams won more games at Capital One Arena than the Wizards because it was the home of the ACC tournament. Like, all of those jokes were real, and they hit, and it sucked. But I think what you're saying and what I'm saying is the last 3 years have been tough. The last 30 years have been tough. We had to fully embrace the tank. And Kurt, appreciate you chiming in. Let's relive the Mother's Day miracle. Metal Chris, roll the tape. Washington wins the NBA draft lottery.
The fourth pick in the NBA draft goes to the Chicago Bulls. The third pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. Picking second will be the Utah Jazz, and that means that the number one pick in the 2026 NBA draft goes to the Washington Wizards.
Yes! Goosebumps! Goosebumps! We actually won something! We actually won something that matters! That matters! We get our pick! We get our pick of the best prospect in one of the most exciting drafts in the last 20 years. Oh, it feels so good to be a Wizards fan this week, celebrating the Mother's Day miracle. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We've got room on the train, all aboard. We've got room if you want to join the Wizards bandwagon. I am welcoming everybody from 17 wins to 40-plus. Believe in it. Believe in it. This is a front office that absolutely knows what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. I need to hear more Michael Winger on the Junkies, more Will Dawkins. They are so smart. I love hearing them talk basketball. It's so nice to root for a team that has a competent front office. And for the first time in a while, I think you could say that about all four D.C. sports. But the Wizards, I have so much faith in this front office. It's been hard to watch them lose games. But it's been fun to know that they did it with a purpose and they have a vision and they're executing it. And they're executing it very well in my mind. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Epstein, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible, 1-800-636-1067. AWOD Radio on The Fan. You can always tweet us your thoughts at 106.7 The Fan or at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. And, you know, I keep talking about Grant Paulson, I thought, had the line of the offseason. Even though we didn't end up drafting Jeremiah Love, he said, there's those that love Jeremiah Love and those that just haven't seen enough highlights. There's AWOD who loves A.J. DeBonsta more than most people and those that just need to see more highlights of A.J. the Monster. He is unbelievable. He can just do anything he wants to do on the basketball court. It's so cool watching him play. He can dunk on anybody. I mean, we're drafting a guy that might end up winning the dunk contest in a few years. And might end up being a leading scorer in the NBA in a few years. I'm super excited about the future of the Washington Wizards. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 1-800-636-1067. Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, appreciate you hanging on. What's up, dude?
Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to me. Nice weekend. I guess it's better to be lucky than good. You know, there are some teams that are always in the playoffs, and there's some teams that are always in the lottery, it seems. I think the Oklahoma Kings haven't had a first-round pick in maybe 4 years. You got to say we've been lucky. John Wall was only 14 years ago. I remember when he was drafted. Oh, my God, you know? And he was good. He was one of the best in that draft. So maybe we'll do the same thing. I think A.J.'s the guy. Unless Utah will give us two first-round picks from those last 2 years. They have six. Utah, Washington, and the Clippers were very lucky this year.
Yeah.
No, imagine if they would give us two. Yeah.
Now, look, here's the thing is, I don't want to trade with Utah. I don't want to trade with Utah. And I understand that is a big conversation online because A.J. played his final year of high school in Utah and then got paid to play at BYU. The only reason A.J. was in Utah was for the money. I don't think he has any interest in playing there in his career. I don't think most people want to play in Utah. They get forced there by drafting them. Ace Bailey tried to avoid Utah by not even working out with them, and then they drafted him. So I don't think he wants to stay in Utah.
I hear it's a good state. Beautiful, the water, the scenery. And one more thing. I think Bradley Beal is going to be released by the Clippers. I'd love to see him come off the bench, maybe at the right price. I think Clippers are on the board for most of the money. So what we have to lose, that'd be great to bring back Beal and Wall. Their careers are cut short by injuries. Wall was a Hall of Famer.
No, Mitch, I appreciate you chiming in. I'm not a Bradley Beal fan. I'm not going to say positive things about Bradley Beal. I will laugh at the Suns. I will laugh at the Clippers. I will laugh at anybody that took on that massively bloated, unbelievably bad contract. I'll laugh at those people. All right. I cannot believe how bad he was since leaving Washington. Again, it's another reason why our front office is so smart. They came in and they viewed this roster. Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma. Like, we're moving off these guys. We're not winning with these guys. They moved off of them with the quickness, right? And started the rebuild process. And it's taken a little longer than they wanted. I think that caller made a good point. They would not have been tanking this year if we had drafted Cooper Flagg. We went back into the tank to get the next Cooper Flagg in AJ. I love what this front office has done. And phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I wanted to bring up something I was talking to my dad about because, you know, my dad's the reason I am such a big D.C. sports fan. He took me to Wizards games when Jordan was there, went to RFK to see the Redskins play, saw the Nationals when they came back. I mean, Capitals all the time as a kid. It's why I love D.C. sports so much. And we're talking about, think about the kids, right? Like, I'm doing the show for people my age all the way to 60, 70. But think about those people that are 12 to 16 right now, and they're starting to become diehard fans. And they've already fallen in love with Jaden Daniels, right? They've already fallen in love with Jaden Daniels. And they've already realized how much of a legend Alex Ovechkin is. Oh, my God, such a stud. We'll have a statue outside of the building by the time he's gone. And they've seen the Nats go through a rebuild and now have a new management and a new manager and some young prospects here. But they've got Jaden Daniels already. And now you're going to give them A.J. DeBonsta? Like, these kids are going to grow up with some awesome, awesome sports players to root for. Like, my favorite players growing up were Santana Moss. And, like, Santana's a stud, but it's not like he was the quarterback. I've been looking for a franchise quarterback my entire life. These kids are going to grow up with one, with Jaden Daniels. And for Wizards fans, if there's Wizards fans that are teenagers, you've seen nothing but 60-plus losses. Get ready to start watching some winning basketball and get ready to fall in love with A.J. DeBonsta. The future of the Wizards is not Trae Young and Anthony Davis. They might make the most money on the roster. They might have the highest contracts. That's not the future. The future of the Washington Wizards is Trey Johnson, A.J. DeBonsta, Alex Saar. Those three pieces mixed with Keyshawn George, Will Riley, and Bub Carrington. And it's why I'm so excited. It's the first time we've had a full 10-man rotation without putting bums on the court. I mean, I like Anthony Gill. Went to UVA. Not going to say he's a bum, but, like, that's my point. I love Garrett Temple. We played way too much Garrett Temple for a lot of years here. For the first, like, anybody that's playing minutes this year for the Wizards, they're a prospect that we believe in that we're going to try to develop them, that we believe they have stardom in their future. I mean, every single guy that's going to get playing time, we like them. We feel like they're a young player on the rise. Just has not been like the roster construction has been so smart by Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. And this was the right way to do it. Because look at OKC, look at San Antonio, look at Detroit. I mean, every single team that's still alive, they did it because they won in the lottery. Victor Wembanyama, right? The Thunder, Chet Holmgren, the Pistons, Cade Cunningham. You have to build, or you go out and you get a big free agent. I think we've realized now, and I think most of you guys listening in the DMV have realized, it's almost impossible to get a big-name free agent to come to Washington, D.C. for basketball. It just hasn't worked. We got Paul Pierce at the end of his career. Trevor Ariza. Like, what? Marcin Gortat. Like, what massive free agent has wanted to come to Washington? The way we acquired that talent was with these savvy trades for Anthony Davis and Trae Young. And Trae Young wants to be here. Anthony Davis may not want to be here. I think he needs to stop doing interviews for sure because I don't like what he's saying this offseason. Just shut up and get to work, right? Show up in shape. And something good will happen for you, Anthony Davis. But if we end up trading him, we're going to get a lot more in return than we would have for Chris Middleton or CJ McCollum. Just super savvy moves by this front office. Sign up for Wizards basketball. I'll be signing up for Monumental Plus. I might even sign up for a partial season ticket plan. I am super excited for Wizards basketball. It's AWOD on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and Richmond 910 AM 105.1 FM. You can always rewind on the free Odyssey app. Back to 9 a.m. to hear my opening thoughts on the Commanders' schedule that was released this week. I gave you my official predictions as well. And then we dedicated an entire hour of the show, maybe even longer than that, to the Washington Wizards winning the NBA draft lottery and my excitement for this upcoming season. I wanted to get back into the Commanders' schedule, though, with some more thoughts. I do think the toughest game on the schedule, we'll see if people agree with me here, you could tweet me at AWOD Radio, is Week 6 Monday Night Football in San Francisco. I'm really worried about that game. I do believe the 49ers are definitely a playoff team, a threat to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They made a lot of strides last year, back to 12-5 after I think they might have been 5-12 the year before. It all came down to the health of Christian McCaffrey, right? That's the most important thing for the 49ers. But that's probably the toughest game on their on our schedule, to go to San Francisco, coming off of three home games, but really it's a home game, then an international trip, then another home game. I get it. It's right before the bye week, so that's what I'm hoping, that we can go all out and try to win that one, but that's probably the hardest game on the schedule. The easiest game, I'm going to continue to say, it's at home against the Giants. If this is going to be a successful season, at the end of the year, we will look and see we beat the Giants twice. I truly believe that. Or at home against the Falcons on December 20th. But I'm a little bit worried about the Falcons. Bijan Robinson has been a nightmare for our defense. And, you know, Sonny Styles, Leo Chenal, the improved defensive line should help against running backs this year. And we have a big test week one, Saquon. I'm just worried about Bijan Robinson. He's been so good against us. The dream road trip. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, the dream road trip. Metal Chris, have you been to Nashville? I feel like you have to have been to Nashville. You're a music head.
I've only flown through it, really.
Oh, my goodness. That is the dream trip. December 6th in Nashville. Now, I did look it up. They will not open their new stadium until next season, the 2027 season. But I've been to their stadium there in Nashville. It's fine. They didn't really need a new one, but their new one's going to be awesome. But it's all about just hanging out on the street. I mean, if you've been in Nashville, you know they shut down the street. It's a ton of fun. Live music at every single bar, basically. Just really does feel like the dream trip. Go there, bring your friends, go there early Saturday so you can have a full Saturday night. And into Sunday, you party all the way until kickoff. The best home game to go to, you know, in a best case scenario for Washington, it would be to clinch a playoff spot week 18 against our arch rival, the Dallas Cowboys. Best case scenario, that would be the best game of the season. I think there's going to be a lot of juice on that home opener. And that's why I think it's not the worst case scenario. Knowing we would have had to face the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks this year, but getting them at home for our home opener, it's a good spot for Washington. Hopefully we're not 0-2 going into that game and in desperation mode. It's all going to come down to, can Washington, you know, shock the Eagles week one? Or can we go to Dallas and get a big victory in Dallas for Dan Quinn's first time, right? We're going to have to find a way to split those first two games. Otherwise, this is just going to be a very difficult season for Washington to start in the hole 0-2 and then take on the Super Bowl champs. Then you got to go to London. I mean, if you could find a way to split first two games, 1-1, and then split the first six, 3-3, right? And then split the first 10, 5-5. I could totally see this team finishing 11-6 or 10-7. And I think there is room for this team to go from between 9-8 to like 12-5. I don't really see us getting anywhere more than 12 wins on the season, but I definitely see the floor being, you know, 9-8. For this team. Obviously, things can go wrong like they did last year, and I mean, there's a chance that Dan Quinn doesn't even make it to November. I mean, there's absolutely a chance that that could happen because the schedule is difficult. I just believe in these guys. I believe in Dan Quinn. I believe in Durante Jones. I believe in what they've done this offseason. If I'm right that the defense is much improved to the level that they go from 32nd to 16th, if I'm right that the offensive line just needed better coaching and another year of chemistry to working together, and if Jaden Daniels gets back to the way he played in 2024 and the weapons that we have on the outside end up being serviceable like they were in 2024, again, I think you look at 2024 and your number one was Terry. He's still here. Your number two was Zach Ertz. You replaced him with Chig. Your number three was Olamide Zaccheaus. You replaced him with Antonio Williams. Your number four is De'Ami Brown. He's back. Your number five was Noah Brown. Now it's Luke McCaffrey. It is similar offensively to what they had in 2024. Austin Eckler's Rashad White. Bill is Brian Robinson Jr. If Jaden is the Jaden of 2024, this team should win 10 games. If Jaden Daniels is the Jaden of 2024 and stays healthy, this team should be a playoff team every single year that he's healthy and our starting quarterback. And if not, then someone's got to go. And this year it would be Dan Quinn in my mind. If they don't make the playoffs, this is the end of Dan Quinn. I'm a Dan Quinn guy. I need them to make the playoffs. And once you get in, anything can happen. I don't think anybody, when the playoffs started, said, yeah, we're going to get Seattle against New England. We're going to get a second-year coach with a quarterback that had just had super success in Minnesota, but nothing in the postseason, nothing when his team needed it most. The Patriots had a young quarterback in Drake May, had Vrabel on his first year taking over from drop. Like, people didn't predict that. You got to get into the postseason to have a chance. And I keep saying this again, my entire life, we have not made the playoffs back-to-back years. My goal for the next 2 years is to make the playoffs 2 years in a row, and hopefully the second year we can go all the way to hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. But you got to get into the dance to have a chance. It's a tough schedule, but I think we've seen worse schedules. And again, every single year, you don't know who the teams that are going to be really good are going to be. I think if you looked at last year's schedule, you'd say, man, look at that. We have Detroit. Oh, my goodness. And they ended up being a team that didn't make the playoffs, right? I mean, there's just so many teams that go from playoffs to non-playoffs, so many teams that go from worst to first. It might look like it's a difficult schedule. It really is middle of the pack, and it does ease up on the second half of the season. You just got to give yourselves a chance. You have to stay healthy. We have to hover around 500 and then get hot. And you don't want to rely on a win streak to get into the postseason. It's just all I know in my DNA. Metal Chris, can you think of a year? I mean, because even Jaden's rookie year, we had to win five games in a row, right? And think back to the RG3 year. I think they won seven games in a row. Kirk Cousins' year, I think we won four games in a row. My entire life, Todd Collins' year, we had to win six games. Like every single year in my life, we made the playoffs. It feels like we've gotten hot in December and January to make it in. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Appreciate everybody that's chimed in on the show today. Love doing a Saturday morning show, especially when there's so much going on in the sports world. Tomorrow night, the best two words in sports, Game 7. I'm taking the Cleveland Cavaliers to go into Detroit and get a victory. James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus have got to shoot better from the outside. And Pistons are a mid-range jump-shooting team. Tobias Harris, Cade Cunningham, they rely on the mid-range. The Cavs rely on the three-point buckets from the outside. Give me Cleveland over Detroit. On Monday, we will begin the Western Conference Finals. Can Victor Wembanyama push the Spurs through to the NBA Finals as he tries to become the face of the league? Or will the real face of the league, SGA, get through once again? And can the Thunder go back-to-back in the NBA? You've been listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday on that free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it for free. Search AWOD Radio or search 910 The Fan. You'll hear me from Monday through Friday on 12 to 3. 12 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday on 910 The Fan. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Metal Chris running the ones and twos. I am back next Saturday. Back like we never left. Back and better than before. Saturdays 9 a.m. to noon here on 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Nick Ashew's coming up next.